problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Who are you?
I'm Beth.
Are you here for the feeding?
Excuse me?
You're early. It's not till tomorrow. But you should come back. It's going to be a bloodbath.
I think I'll pass.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homie Broadcast. Yeah.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Soundtrack, kindly produce a sound. Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio StPete.com. My name is Will Koontz, your host with the most, always and forever. How are you? I'm great. I'm good. This is what we call a filler episode because I did not have the time to book a guest this week. So I had my friend come in. No one can hear you yet.
Oh, they can hear.
They could maybe get some muffled things. Now they can hear you.
Can they hear me now?
Oh, they can hear you now. You sound great.
The host with the most what, though?
With the most Twitter followers of all, and you're farting in my house.
I almost pooped my pants.
Wow. That was, is that going to smell?
No, actually.
Are you lying?
Yes, I am.
Should I light that candle?
I haven't eaten anything since like 8 o'clock this morning. Well, I had a Kind bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so all my farts are non-GMO.
Right.
Verified.
That's good.
100% natural, homegrown, like much like the Homemade Broadcast.
Absolutely.
Homemade.
The voice you are hearing right now is Adam Howell. Adam was the co-host of this podcast at the very beginning at its inception, which I have since gone back and deleted all the old episodes.
That's smart.
I think there was a lot of things that were said potentially on those that could come back and bite us, maybe.
Like racist things?
No, I don't think there were racist things. Just maybe our behaviors and actions and maybe substances that maybe we were using at the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, but also, you know, it wasn't even because I'm scared of that. It was because I don't have the space on my Spreaker account I used to record. So I had to get rid of old stuff.
It has nothing to do with your sordid gaming past. It's more space.
More because I'm poor and I don't have the money to upgrade my recording utensil utility.
That's as good of an excuse as any for deleting history.
Yes.
History. Why don't we just rewrite the Constitution, Will? Why don't we do that?
We could do that. Before we get into it, let me do my quick reads here. This podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Happy sponsors of the podcast, I think. I don't know anymore.
They sponsor you? They put
they
bread
do.
In your jar?
They actually kind of Jewed me down a little bit, for lack of a better word.
Well, you're Jewish, so you can say that.
That's true. I can.
You can.
And I will. And I do on a day-to-day basis.
Constantly.
When they axed the open mic, they
axed it?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
The open mic is no more. Yeah.
At the really?
At Sly Bar, yeah. Right after the 2-year anniversary, they decided that they were going to go another route. I think they're getting rid of all their events because they have a restaurant now, which you should go check out their Tasty Taco Tuesday on Tuesday
delicious.
Nights. $2 off tacos that night, and I hear they are delicious. I still haven't eaten there yet, which I should probably do that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you probably should, or at least not mention that you haven't eaten there before you give them a resounding endorsement.
I think they know what they're getting out of me, and
oh, okay,
I have
right.
very low expectations, so... You know, I just roll with it. But check out Sly Bar, slybar.com, facebook.com/SlyBarSt.
Taco Tuesdays.
Taco Tuesdays at Sly Bar.
They could give you diarrhea.
Potentially.
They could not give you diarrhea.
And, of course, Chrissy Parker and True V Salon and Spa, 8908 4th Street North, St. Petersburg. Make an appointment with her, 329-975-1727, area code, of course. She's good at her job.
And she has legs for miles.
She certainly does.
That's a huge...
Go ahead and stop you there.
I'm going to stop. She is one of your sponsors. So.
She's very talented.
She's very nice. I like Chrissy.
Yes, she's great, and she does sponsor this podcast. So I like her even more. So thank you, Chrissy. Check her out at TruvySalonAndSpa.com and Facebook.com. Just put in Truvy Salon and Spa. Spa. Truvy. That is. So go check her out. Make an appointment. Last time I got my haircut was from Chrissy, and that was probably 4 years ago.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yes.
It does look like it.
I've completely let myself go. I considered cutting it last summer, and wussed out at the last minute. And I somehow got through this summer without being walking outside. And
yeah, it looks like you need some tip work.
Yeah.
Clean up the tips.
Yeah.
And then
probably
just, be
circumcise
flowing.
My hair. Yeah.
That's a very Jewish thing to say.
Well, I'm Jew.
You are so very Jewish.
I'm allowed to say so.
I'm circumcised too. So I guess that
are
makes
you?
Me 8 inches of Jew.
That's right. That's right. Good for you.
The world's smallest Jew.
So Adam is, I don't get to see him as much as I'd like to anymore because he's a father now.
A child.
He's getting ready for his wedding that's upcoming here. You said it was getting delayed, though.
Well, we're pushing it back because we're actually, the whole reason why we were doing the wedding in November was not because, we were partial to November. It was because I was planning on leaving, but I have a very good job and I have health insurance now, so I'm an adult. And not Obamacare either, the real stuff.
Oh, wow.
So
you probably
could
have saved yourself some money if you went through the marketplace.
I probably could have. But, the doctors that I go to now with my insurance are very accommodating. You know, they ask me if I would like antibiotics for my ailment, or maybe they just want to put in a catheter of orange juice and fill me with juice.
You get the vitamins right into the system.
Point is, I have options.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want a mainline vitamin C. That's what I'm going to get. I'm not paying almost $800 a month to have some doctor sit there and tell me what treatments I can.
$800
ridiculous.
A month.
And that's with the company I work for paying half of my individual insurance, which comes out to be like $50. Apparently, babies and women are very expensive to insure.
Yes, they certainly are. They got a lot of problems.
They do.
Women and babies. They always got something going on.
They do. Everyone's like, oh, the vagina, it's self-cleaning and such a good, amazing machine. Yeah, well, you know what? My dick is manual cleaning. And
penis.
It never, oh, I'm sorry.
Penis.
My penis is manual clean, once or twice a week. Never gives me a problem.
No, you just throw it in the sink every now and again and, just
that's what I'm,
Adam,
it off. I feel like I stole this from Adam Carolla, and I think it was the first time I heard it was on Loveline. But ever since I started peeing in the sink, I cannot stop. Because I can pee, it's right there at waist height, and then I can wash up right afterwards. It's amazing.
I've done that drunk at places a few times. I'm sorry, if you don't have a urinal, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's going to happen.
Sometimes I don't even want to pee in your toilet because I've gotten splashback in the past.
I feel like it's rude, frankly.
Yeah, yes.
It's rude for the ladies.
You know what? Men, we really should be peeing in sinks, and we should be using the toilet for number two because everyone knows – you don't really miss with number two. You miss with number one.
I've had a few instances where I missed with number two. Drastic measures, though. Drastic times.
I remember a Taco Bus night where I almost missed with number two.
Can we tell? I don't know if I've ever told this story on the podcast.
Oh,
but
please.
Since this is a garbage episode where we just kind of toss one
thanks.
In.
Thank you.
Well, come on.
I am trash.
Not you are trash, no. But a kind of a filler episode because I wasn't able to book somebody this week.
Gotcha.
And I could have booked you still, even
you
if could've. I did, It still would have been a garbage episode. Not
that is
a garbage
true.
Episode. I'm saying
well,
that.
Well, let's be honest. I'm nobody.
Episode.
Let's just be honest here. I'm
you're
nobody.
A funny guy, and you're my friend.
I am.
And you are sometimes a stand-up comedian. You've done stand-up quite a few
I have.
Times.
I used to refer to myself as that. But, you know, it's funny because I really want to get back into it. What I'm afraid is that I'm going to start telling jokes that are going to offend people. Because everything that I'm writing lately, as I become more conservative in my old age, is... I mean, you know, my wife is like, you can't tell that joke. You're going to offend a lot of people. And that, not that she thinks that that's a bad thing, but she's like, if it's jokes, if it's laughs you want, you know, this is a little political for, you know, Sly Bar or, you know, any place where, you know, they do dollar PBRs. It's pretty much...
Well, I'll tell you this. Comedy is based off this, right?
Oh,
Lenny
yeah.
Bruce went into... I don't think he intentionally went into offend people, but obviously he was the big episode during that time period
oh,
where
yeah.
he was arrested for obscenity. And you know what? I think people need to be offended at
well,
this point.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I'm not trying to rationalize my laziness because being a parent and being an adult makes me extremely lazy. I don't want to do it. You know, after I'm working all day and then come and taking care of my child... and listening to my wife, all I want to do is lay on the couch and put the end of the revolver in my mouth and enjoy my night. You know what I mean? I just, that's all. I don't want to go and listen to a bunch of comedians that are 20, 25 years old who know nothing about the world and think they know better than me. I just don't. And that's, that. You know, again, that might be me rationalizing, but I really, I want to do smarter comedy. And I was ready to rush in with the penis jokes and the poop jokes. I was ready to do that. I was all gung-ho to do that. And then I took a step back, and I was like, this isn't really what I want. So I have been writing. I'm still writing. And I will get back out there. It's just right now, I'm too tired. I'm too tired. I'm too lazy.
And that's fine. I mean, you're not certainly not obligated
no,
to
no,
do
no,
anything.
Not at all.
But I will say if you're afraid of offending somebody – don't worry about that.
No, it's more like I want to be craftier. I don't want to go up there mad. You know, I mean, Don Rickles was great, you know, and if I was poking fun at people's waistlines and, you know, or just attacking feminism or, you know, anything that I find to be absurd nowadays, I'm not afraid to say those things. What I want to have more panache, you know. I want to have more class when I'm up there. And I want to write something that makes people that maybe offends people, but also makes them laugh. Right now, I'm especially with this election, I'm so mad at liberals. I don't hate anybody, but I don't like closed-mindedness. And when I'm confronted with that, my body rejects it. My mind rejects it.
Let's go through your political roller coaster. When I first met you, you had a George Bush sticker on the back of your car.
Which you peeled off.
I did peel off. 18-year-old Bill went ahead and peeled that off.
My Bush
I still
Cheney.
Don't regret it, necessarily.
I was shocked.
You were so mad at me that day.
I remember sitting there going, that is my personal, private property. I spent... a nickel on that bumper sticker, and I am offended. Like, I was super mad. But
so you started out there, and then as time went along, you got a little bit more liberal. And then I think you went through this psychosis stage where you were all conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah.
And everything's bad. There's nothing. Every attack that's ever happened is all the government, lizard people. Interdimensional beings.
I mean, here's the rub. I still very much believe in the majority of the thing. You know, there are some things that through your own research and use of, you know, logic and deductive reasoning, you're able to eliminate some things. But do I think we went to the moon? No.
You don't believe that?
I don't. I don't believe that. I could go on for hours talking about it. But what I do believe is that we were shown a movie. I do believe that. I believe we were shown a movie. And I think that we had the best intentions for showing the world that movie. I think that there was a lot to lose by losing the space race. Communism, the red threat, you know, John Kennedy was getting his D sucked by Marilyn Monroe. There was a lot happening And, you know, when Kennedy promised, you know, that we were going to go to the moon and do this and the other thing, you know, I mean, I wasn't there for that, but I remember feeling a sense of patriotism that I haven't felt since I was a kid. And, you know, watching that. And then I was like, man, you know, imagine the red threat and, you know, Sputnik goes up and American citizens are literally cowering in fear under their desks because they think that a nuclear bomb is going to come from the sky and fall on them. Or some sort of Soviet death ray, something that turns you, you know, into a pinko leftist. I can't get past the fact that it was too good to not stage. You didn't have the technology. You could put a man. I mean, we definitely put people into the atmosphere, but had them float around. See, this is what happens.
Go into orbit?
Yeah, we put men into orbit, but you know, and I believe that that is real. But if you look at stuff like the like, there's a tape right now that was released to that guy that got punched.
Yes.
By the, you know, he was walking up to all the astronauts and going, "Swear on the Bible that you want."
Neil Armstrong decked him.
Oh yeah,
it was a great video.
It was a great video, but at the same time, this guy was sent through Freedom of Information Act request. He was sent a video that he shouldn't have been sent. And it was Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, everybody's, and they're talking to NASA, and you can tell it's unedited. And they're showing the view of Earth. They're showing the Terminator line. You can see like the crescent moon Earth, and they're saying that the camera's all the way at the back of the spacecraft, and it's all the way up at the front at the window. They got the camera flush with the window, and they're showing you Earth from, you know, 200 and some thousand miles away. And according to the tapes, according to the official NASA tapes, they were supposed to be more than halfway to the moon at this point. And you see them, they have this official shot with NASA, but then something really cool happened. You know, they talk about this in this beautiful look at the Earth. And then after a while, you can tell that they've ended transmission. They think they're done. And the recording button on the video camera pops back up. And what you see is that the camera's not actually at the window looking at Earth from 200,000 miles away. What they've done is they put the camera in the back of the spacecraft, and they have a curtain with a dim yellow light off to the left from the camera's perspective. And you can see that they had that there so that they could still work the camera buttons in the pitch black. And you see that they have a little piece of black cloth right on the sides of the window to kind of make it look like there's a Terminator line. And when they take the cloth away, you actually see the astronaut's hand go in front of the window. When they take the cloth away, you see the whole window fills up with blue and sunlight. And they're orbiting the Earth. They're in Earth's upper orbit. And so, officially, according to NASA, when that was done, and that was never shown to the American public, when that was done, they were supposed to be halfway to the moon. There was no, like, well, that was a good test run. They were faking a shot. And that's not the only piece of evidence, but that when I saw that, I was like, man.
So, okay, so that could be true.
It could be, yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that the landing was faked.
Well,
just because
I mean,
they faked a shot.
There's plenty of other, you know.
Or spruced it up
a
little bit.
Well, there's plenty of other evidence that suggests that, you know, some of the physics were wrong, how the astronauts were running. You know, the physics tests that they did on the moon were easily faked, the hammer and the feather. You know, there was a couple things. You know, you could see every once in a while when they're showing the astronauts walking on the moon, you can see the reflection of what looks like a wire that goes all the way up to about a foot past the top of their helmet. You know, there's little things that, and again, that's the essence of conspiracy theory, is that it's a theory. It's not a fact. It's fun to look into. And if you've never looked into it, I suggest you do. Because it really, I digress. At the heart of it, there was far more reasons to fake it in 1969 than there was the ability to do it. You know, and we still, to this day, we refuse to send men to the moon. And that's NASA talking. NASA today will tell you we can't send a man to the moon because of the Van Allen radiation belts. We don't know how to properly protect them. You know, and why wasn't that an issue in 1969, but it's an issue for us now?
I think maybe because maybe they didn't understand, or possibly they didn't really care about the risk to the astronauts at that point.
Could be.
They just needed to go and get there and put the flag on there.
It could be. You know, I'm not saying that it's 100%. I'm positive we didn't go to the moon. What I'm saying is that there is evidence that should not be dismissed. And you see that. You know, a lot of people, if it doesn't mesh with your worldview or how you were brought up or how you were raised, you know, if you tell people now, if you tell people, you know, Christopher Columbus, he didn't discover America. The Vikings did a long time ago. It wasn't a secret. I mean, some people get offended at that. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you talking? He sailed the ocean blue in 1492. I remember the rhyme. But that's, you know, that's not how it was. The first Thanksgiving, they don't all sit down with cornbread and turkey and have a wonderful meal. They were malnourished. It was not a pleasant, peaceful site. A lot of it was out of necessity. You know, we killed more Indians than we ever helped. You know, and to destroy the narrative is to be open minded. To think outside the box is healthy. You know, and that's. You know, and again, with back to liberals, you know, it's if you can't think outside the box, if you need a safe space, you know, if new ideas, you know, like sitting there saying 9/11 was an inside job, that to this day will incite rage in people. Mm-hmm. How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, why not? The Gulf of Tonkin, they came out and said that was fake. That got us into Vietnam. You know what I mean? Pearl Harbor, that got us into World War II. We have plenty of military personnel that testified that they knew the attack was coming and that it was allowed to happen. You know, and again, I'm not saying that the government is completely corrupt. What I'm saying is that there are things that don't go with the narrative, and you should be able to ask questions. You should be able to wonder what if, without being told that you're absolutely wrong, and that there's no way. How dare you question the government? How dare you question 9/11? So, you know, so many people died. Well, look, there was incentive for 9/11 to happen. A lot of people benefited from that. Lots of people.
It got us into a lot of wars throughout the world, that's for sure. That's still are ongoing today and have no sight and end.
No, not at all. And, you know, I don't see an end in sight either. I don't. I mean, if Donald Trump gets elected or Hillary Clinton gets elected, you know, the powers that be, it'll have. You know, I'm not. You want to talk about conspiracy theories? What would be a better mass event? What would be a better psychological? I'm trying not to curse. It's really hard.
It is.
It's really hard. You know, what if they blew up Donald Trump? You know what I mean? And blamed it on a Muslim. You know what I mean? Or what if a guy wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt came running at Donald Trump and blew him up? Yeah, there would be an actual race war. There would be people that would blanket sweepingly blame African Americans or Muslims. I mean, and you killed Donald Trump, the poster boy, and I'm saying this with all the affection and love I possibly can for America, for Caucasians. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be racist. I'm saying, you know, that if there was an event like 9/11 that happened to wipe out somebody that was elected democratically like Donald Trump, it would incite violence. There's a lot. There's so many people that believe in this man. You know, there's not. I can't say the same thing for Hillary Clinton. I don't see anybody that's really emboldened or passionate about Hillary. But Donald Trump, for all of his flaws, I see that. I see people that are like, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not racist, but do I think there should be a wall? Yes. Yes. Do I think there should be a door where you walk in and there's a table and you can apply for a green card? Sure. But, you know, that to me, it may not be practical. It may, you know, and that it might have been just talking points or something that, you know, the American people wanted to hear. But to sit there and say that it's racist to say, oh, well, I want to build, you know, is it racist if I put a fence around my yard if there's a poor black community 100 yards away?
Or just in general.
Or just in general. Do I, you know, if I want to build a fence around my yard to keep somebody out, you know, if there just happens to be a bad neighborhood that borders my lawn, absolutely. I'm going to build the biggest wall I can.
Well, the walls have been around forever. There's a wall around the Vatican. There's a wall. Mexico China, has a wall right on their border.
China's
down,
got that
down
big
south.
One.
China's just got the Great Wall, which that's what it was for.
To keep out the Mongolians.
Right, exactly. And now we're paying for Turkey to build a wall in their neck of the woods so they can.
Wall Turkey.
And this is the thing. It's. Everybody else is doing it. I don't understand why nobody else is getting flack for it. I'm not sure how I feel about the wall because you can jump over a wall or you can dig under a wall. I would rather see the president say, you know what, we're going to bring everybody home from the Middle East and let them sort it out at this point. They got a lot of sorting out to do. And let's stick our military on the border.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a great use. I mean, I think that, yes, our military is being squandered. They should be brought home. They should be watching the borders. But, you know, if you built a wall, let's just say, you know, you don't want people to tunnel underneath it, you put seismic readers in the ground. You know when somebody's digging with a tunnel, a shovel and a pickaxe. You know, if you don't want people jumping over it, you make it tall enough so they're going to need a jetpack to get over it. You know, and that's the thing is that when you say it like that, it seems unrealistic. It seems too expensive. It seems, what's the word that I'm looking for? Like a caricature of what you would imagine. You know what I mean? It's not practical. But I think Donald Trump said that because it's something that everyone deep down, you're like, well, I mean, they are kind of raping. they are a little rapey for a people, you know? I mean, and it's not...
Well, the age of consent, I'm thinking Mexico was 12.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't really give consent if you don't want to have sex. So 12 or 20, you know, it's like rape is rape. And, you know, to me, do I think that Mexicans, especially illegals, commit a disproportionate amount of crime as opposed to U.S. citizens? I mean, I'm going to include Mexican citizens. Yeah, absolutely, because a Mexican citizen has something to lose. They clearly earned the right to be here. They earned a green card. They had a skill. You know, they came over here with the intentions on assimilating. You know, and that's the thing, is that if you want to come to America and you want to assimilate, you want to become an American, then God bless you. Come here and learn the words.
I saw this great photo on Reddit the other day. It was my dad on his first day in the U.S., coming from Palestine, and he looked like a rock star. He had the long flowing hair, he had facial hair, and he had a Journey t-shirt on, and he was posted up next to a Trans Am. Great photo.
Yeah.
And there was a time when people wanted to be American.
Yeah.
They wanted to come here to be American. And that seems to have shifted now. I don't really know why, but no, everybody wants to keep everything. That they just want to make little Afghanistan and cities,
yes,
Chinatown.
Yes,
they just
exactly,
they don't want to be part of.
Yeah, they don't want to
what we have to offer.
They don't want to be an American citizen. You know, like it's the same for the same. It's illogical. You know, like you have a friend who shall remain nameless, Brian, who was saying that you know Muslims should be allowed to have Sharia courts inside the United States, and to me that is not assimilation. That is you sitting there saying I don't care what your laws and customs and culture are. My laws and customs and culture and religion supersede yours. And in a country that's built, and I think that's funny, everyone's screaming about equality, but this country was more built on the idea that, and maybe not in the beginning, there was that whole slavery thing, and you know we had there were birth pangs to the freedom that we have today.
Sure. But also, nowhere else at that time was much better.
Yes.
Everywhere else stunk, too.
That's what I was, you know, Gavin McGinnis made a great point. He said, you know, we didn't start slavery, but we sure as hell ended it.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know.
At least modern, yeah. I mean, there's still slavery that goes on all
absolutely
throughout the world.
Absolutely. And that's what gets me about social justice warriors and feminists. And, you know, it's how is, you know, you sit there and you talk about equality and fairness and, you know, and equal treatment for people. But if you go anywhere else, you will be stoned to death. You'll get raped and stoned to death.
Yeah, let's see you go immigrate to anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere. Any example. Any part of the Middle East or even in China,
yeah,
and want to keep your culture, your American culture.
It's
not
going to
happen. And it probably shouldn't because that's not their way. You can't just do whatever you want in these places.
Yeah, but see, they saw an opportunity. I think Muslims saw an opportunity, you know, and we see this time and again, to come here and seek refuge, seek freedom, but then at the same time not respect the culture and the country that created it. You can't, it doesn't, it is counter intuitive to go to a place that gives you these inalienable rights that you otherwise would have never had, and then to get them and go, yes, but I would like to do it my way, and my way is I don't conform. I don't play by the rules. I don't assimilate. I don't care about your country or the wonderful things that it's provided for me. That, you know, and that's the thing, is that they can even say those things. You can say disparaging things about America in America.
As you should. That's what this, you can't, you shouldn't be censored. You should be able to speak your
absolutely
mind.
Absolutely. But to come here and say that this needs to be more like where I'm from, that I...
Didn't you leave to get away
exactly
from that?
Thank you.
Why else would you leave?
Yeah, because, yeah, you know...
It's obviously not great
where
you're from.
I saw this this Mexican lady. I was about to say Mexican-American, but I have no way of knowing that. And she was talking to a line... it was a line of people in line to see Donald Trump. And, you know, she's like, you have no idea that, you know, we work 14 hours a day in Mexico, and wouldn't you run from Mexico if you were... And
yep.
the Donald Trump guy's like, there is a... Legally, come here... Legally, you know, if you don't like it in Mexico and it's that bad, then have a revolution and change it. If you don't like your country being run by drug smugglers and bad people, if you don't like the violence, then, you know, there are probably more good people, I would venture to say, and this is true in anywhere, except for maybe, you know, Saudi Arabia or most Muslim countries. They're the majority, though. Are good-natured people who are brought up in a bad environment. If you and I think the good-natured people outnumber the bad.
I totally believe that people are mostly good.
Yes,
and I've come to that conclusion. There are bad people out there, sure, but the overwhelming majority are good. The only thing is, a lot of them are dumb, and that's what. Like I was I saw this guy in the Walgreens parking lot the other day, and he just parked his car like. Just diagonally, not in a parking spot, and just got out and ran in. And I was like, what an ass.
Yeah.
Can you believe this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm sure he means nothing by it. Oh, I'm just running in real quick. He's not even thinking
think
about it.
Yeah.
He's just a dummy who just, it's not even that he's entitled. He's just stupid, probably.
Yeah. But
noted conspiracy theorist and kind-hearted bigot Adam Howe is joining me on the podcast this week. You are listening to the Homemade Broadcast on Radio St. Pete. You can also catch us on podcast available on hmbradio.com. Make sure you check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/hmbradio. You can follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man. I encourage you to do so. Adam, you don't do Twitter, right?
I don't.
You'd be a great tweeter, too.
You're not the only person that said that to me. My boss actually said that to me. He's like, you should get a Twitter. I was like, I should get a Twitter? I was like, you're 1,000. How do you even know what Twitter is? But I'm so disillusioned. I'm jaded. I don't care what anybody. And I think I'm just becoming I'm becoming my father. I think that's what
it is. Yeah, me too.
I don't want to hear what you have to say.
You don't have to follow anybody, though. That's the thing.
That's
you
true.
Could just tweet out to the masses, and you don't have to follow anybody.
But then people are going to comment on the things that I say, and
you have the potential for that, sure.
And not that I'm sensitive. I just don't care. I don't care what you have to say. You know, I'm getting crotchety. I don't care. If somebody walked up to me, you know, if I was wearing a Donald Trump shirt or hat or something, which I wouldn't. You know, I don't believe in that. But if someone came up to me and were like, hey, I think you're wrong, I'm liable to punch you in the face rather than have a discussion with you at this point in my life. I just don't have time. I'm busy. I don't have time to sit there and talk to you about why you're wrong or why I think you're wrong or why I think you're dumb. I don't have that time. I would rather punch you in the mouth. That way, every time you looked in the mirror and saw you were missing a tooth because you're probably unemployed and you don't have the means to take care of yourself, you're living off the system. No insurance for cosmetic dentistry. Every time you looked at that gaping hole where your tooth used to be, you'll think twice before going up to anybody and assuming anything about anybody. You know, and that's the thing. I just can't. I'm getting old. I'm getting old. I have a kid. You know, I care about my kid and their future. And anybody out there that is more concerned with how you feel rather than facts is dangerous. It's dangerous to me. It's dangerous to my child. Growing up in the America we all know and love.
Here's the thing about facts, and I've struggled with this a lot because you can see you can zoom in or zoom out on a graph and have it say two different things.
Yeah,
everybody's got their own set of data that they point to.
Yeah.
And, oh, okay, that seems true. Well, this totally contradicts what you just said. This says totally something different.
Yeah.
It's really hard to know what to believe. I try to look at as many sources as possible. I think that's the only way. But you really just have to make a gut call. You have to trust your gut in a lot of these things, which is kind of scary. But you can't depend on anybody to tell you the truth. I mean, the media is off the wall now. It's
you can't.
I mean, mainstream media is in the can for the highest bidder, whoever buys it. Yeah. That Gallup poll just got released that 30% of the people trust the mainstream media. Everybody else are going to independent sources.
Oh, yeah.
That you're still trusting somebody to report to you something. And reporters don't report anymore. They report how they felt, like you said, during the thing.
Nobody announces their biases before they come on to the 7 o'clock nightly news and tell you about the candidates. Nobody, you don't know what political affiliations any of those writers had or any of the management at the studio. You don't know, and all of those things. You know, I used to hate Fox News because of that. I used to sit there and go, well, they have an agenda. They have an agenda, and they do. They absolutely do have an agenda.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I used to sit there and go, well, you know, MSNBC, their pundits are, they're wearing blue ties, and they're talking much softer. And, you know, the way that they're talking about this seems much nicer. You know what I mean? Like, that was how I looked at the world. You know, you looked at things like, and now you realize they're part of the same monster. It's all the same. And there's no, it's a constant fight for the truth. All I know is that in my 31 years on this planet, I know I can't trust anybody, like you just said. I can't trust anybody. I can't trust anybody with my life. I can't trust anybody, especially with my child's life or my wife or anybody that I care about. You know, I don't trust anybody. And what you said before was kind of George Bush-esque. Well, you know, I got to go with my gut. I got a few, you know, what does it feel like in my gut? My gut tells me that there is a lot of evil in the world. And my gut tells me that there's a lot of people making money off the ignorance of the masses.
Well, everything's clickbait now.
Absolutely.
It's not news. It's trying to get somebody to visit your site. I complained heavily on the last episode of this program because when the shooting happened, where was it? I guess it was in Charlotte.
Yeah.
This freaking website, I think it was like Gossip News. It was just some website. I looked at their Twitter. They got 3,000 followers. They happened to break the story. And the photo they chose to use of the officer, there was a picture with three black officers, one white officer, and then just some people. They were like eating ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
They took the white guy and put him as the shooter when it wasn't true. And I 2 minutes of research. Oh, that's not real. Mm-hmm. That's not what happened. They had a picture of the officer. So I said, are you trying to spread propaganda, or are you just bad at your job? And they actually tweeted back and said, this was a mistake. You know, and I think they were sincere, like, oh, my God, I can't believe this happened. But you know what? Now it happened. That innocent man's photo is out on the internet. It's being tweeted out by millions of people now.
Damage done.
Damage is done. And so I said, oh, you're just bad at your job then. Maybe you should consider doing something else, because it's not hard to fact check. But I like the fact that websites like that exist, and there's tools with social media. There's Periscope now where you can broadcast live on your Twitter feed.
Yeah.
I would trust that way more than anything I saw on CNN. That not edited. It's live. And it's right in your face. So if you can find, and Periscope and Twitter are a great source. Twitter is not so much anymore, but Periscope, which I think is owned by Twitter. But I mean, you still have live footage. It's right there in front of you. It's not edited. There's the only commentary you hear is a person taking the photo the video and the people that are there with you.
Well, and that's why our greatest asset right now, I think the most powerful weapon that people have are not only our guns, but it is the internet. It's the ability to share. And now everybody's walking around with a camera that is good enough, you know what I mean, and equipment that is good enough to broadcast from anywhere. You know what I mean? So you have this ability, this truth-telling machine that's going around basically unfettered. You know what I mean? The people, you can't stop everybody. You can't silence every phone. And that's a good thing. And that's why, you know, when they attack the internet or, you know, Twitter takes some, you know, you see Twitter buying into the liberal bias and the, you know, the liberal narrative, I should say, that, you know, feelings are more important than facts, you know, and if you hurt somebody's feelings, then you deserve to be silenced and shut up, you know, and that is a dangerous precedent because, you know, something like Periscope, you know, I do have a tremendous amount of respect for the technology. I think it's the best thing that's ever happened to humanity. And that's why the powers that be are scrambling to snuff out the flame.
And we cannot allow that to happen as people. When that starts happening, that's going to really, things are going to get bad then.
They're coming for the guns and they're coming for the internet. That, those are the two things that they've been coming for.
And I think especially people our age, those are the two things. Well, maybe not guns. I don't think people our age really like guns. Well,
I think
that's
a
not
generation.
True either. There's always people who are half and half.
I didn't
on that.
For but a long time, you know.
Right. But I think the internet is something we all enjoy and want to preserve the way it is now.
Yeah, exactly.
And people want the ability to access whatever they want. I mean, within reason, of course.
You say within reason. You know, it's like when the Confederate flag thing, you know. Everyone was up in arms and everyone's posting, you know, that this is a racist symbol. It needs to come down. First of all, it's not a racist symbol. It's not there. I mean, I'm not going to get into it too much, but the Civil War was fought over tariffs. It had nothing to do with slavery. Abraham Lincoln said, if I could preserve the Union and keep slavery, I would do it. He didn't care about slavery. This great emancipator and breaker of chains, he wasn't that great of a guy. He wasn't.
He was just status quo for the time.
For the time, yes. But that's the thing, is that the Confederate flag is not a symbol of racism. It is a piece of history. Whether it carries negative connotations to you or not, it is a piece of history. You cannot just get rid of it. And even if it deeply offends you, it has to exist. If for no other reason than to remind you that I don't want to be a racist person. I want to accept all people. It's, you know, even if you view it in a negative context, you still have to appreciate the fact that it's a reminder of a time that was less civil.
Here's the thing about the flag too. It's not going to change anybody's mind.
No.
I would think even if you were offended by it, which you can take any how you can feel anyway about anything you want. If you feel that's the way it is, fine.
It's your prerogative.
But wouldn't you know, I'm not going to talk to that guy. That guy's an ass. I don't want to talk to that guy. And not only that, but what do you think if it gets flown that people are going to be like, wow, that's cool. I need to get one of those. Like, people feel a certain way to take away somebody's right to not bore it or whatever. Well, what's the point?
You're
it's just
gonna
a power thing.
Yeah.
It's getting people together to say, I'm taking that away from you. And that's really all it's about. Just the power to take it away.
What about all the soldiers that died in the Civil War and their grave, their final resting place is the National Cemetery? You know,
yeah, what are you going to do, dig them up and put them somewhere else?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you want all the Confederate flags removed from men and women that died fighting for something that they believed in.
Adam, we got to get out of here. Final thought. One thing you want to say before we go.
My final thought is that...
I kind of sprung that on you, huh?
I'm trying not to poop my pants. So when I was taking a big deep breath in because I thought you were going to end it and I was going to fart. But now...
Fart into the microphone.
It's going inside me. I farted inside myself at this point. Nobody can hear it because the mic isn't on my belly. But final thoughts, hold on to your guns, hold on to your internet, hold on to your families.
Adam Howell, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming in, joining me on this, I don't want to call it garbage episode.
Smoke weed every day.
This new filler episode, that's what we'll call it, because I did not get a chance to do my job this week. And book a real guest. No, I'm kidding.
Well,
I'm
glad I could be your garbage.
Adam, you're welcome back anytime, man.
Thanks,
thank you
Will.
Very much for coming in. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can leave a message for Adam if you want to curse at him. 813-693-2124, facebook.com/HMB Radio, home_made, home_made_man.
Mess that up.
I really did. I screwed that up. I'm trying to make sure we have enough time to get through this.
You're fired.
You can email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Make sure you like the Radio St. Pete page, facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. And they're on Twitter, Radio St. Pete. Radio STPETE. Folks, have a great week. I will talk to you soon. I love you. Bye.
Woo!
Boner.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.